While folks are still gathering in, why don't we stand tonight and let's open the service with a little bit of prayer and praise. What do you say? Aren't you glad to be here tonight? I'm glad to be here. Glad to see all of you. Let's open the service with a little praise to the Lord, shall we? Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, God, for all that you do. Thank the Lord. We're thankful for all of your blessings in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Again, great to see all of you. And we welcome everyone here tonight. And now before we get into our Bible study tonight, let me remind you of just a couple of things that's coming up. I'd like to remind you of a week from tonight, Wednesday night, a week from tonight, May the 29th. Brother Alex Marquez will be here as missionary to Mexico, and he will be speaking in the service a week from tonight. So remember that announcement. And then also on Sunday, June the 2nd, we are very happy to welcome Brother A.J. Holloway. He'll be speaking in our Sunday morning service, and we'll look forward to that. Thank the Lord. So a lot of more good things coming up in the near future. We'll keep you posted, and let church, let the presence of the Lord, let the Spirit of the Lord be a blessing to you. What do you say? Thank the Lord. And excited for the great move of God that we've been experiencing for the past number of months. And God has been very good to us, and we're very, very thankful for that. Let's jump into Bible study tonight. What do you say? I've been excited about tonight, looking forward to this presentation. But to get you back up to speed, we've been talking for the past probably a couple of months now about prophecy in one way or the other. We plan to continue that tonight. We've talked about the rapture, the Antichrist. We just completed a little short series on the seven seals of Revelation. Tonight I'd like to introduce you to the seven trumpets. And of course, we probably won't get through all of this material tonight, and we'll wrap it up Wednesday night after next, Lord willing. But in Revelation chapter 6, those of you that are following along, it introduces to us the seven seals. And we talked about that the scene in Revelation 4 and 5 is in heaven. They're looking for someone worthy to open this scroll that it has seven seals on it. And of course, Jesus is certainly worthy of pouring out these judgments and what have you on the earth because of the price he paid at Calvary. And so we spent a little bit of time, hopefully you remember that, have absorbed that. When you get to the end of Revelation chapter 6, a lot of Bible commentaries call Revelation chapter 7 a pause. I understand it, that it's called that, but Revelation chapter 7 really goes into detail about the very mysterious 144,000. People have said, well, it's just a certain number of people taken from each one of the 12 tribes. That's not true, because Dan and Ephraim is not even mentioned. The tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh is not labeled like that. It's called Joseph and Manasseh, is the way the book of Revelation spells it out. So that's not a total fit either. Anyway, the book of Revelation chapter 7 is called a pause between the judgments that have been poured out already in Revelation chapter 6, that we all familiar with them as the seven seals. Tonight I'd like to begin in chapter 8, and if you study the book of Revelation and pay attention to its writings, you'll find that Revelation chapter 8 picks up where Revelation chapter 6 ended. Again, chapter 7 it's an interruption. It's a pause, if you will. So to begin tonight with that little bit of an introduction in mind, as I have mentioned the past two Wednesday nights, when you have the seven seals mentioned in the book of Revelation, the seventh seal, when it is opened, reveals what the book of Revelation refers to as the seven trumpets. So the seventh seal is or contains the seven trumpets. The Bible said when this happens, there's a period of silence in heaven, and most commentaries believe, and I'll point out the difference in just a moment between the seven seals and the seven trumpets, but this silence, most people believe, most commentaries that I've read after believe, that when the angels and the residents of heaven, those that are in heaven, realizes the severity of these seven trumpets, there is a very quiet hush that falls in heaven. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal," again, that reveals the seven trumpets, "there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." A lot of thoughts about that verse. But a lot of people believe, most people believe, that when the occupants of heaven realize how horrible these seven trumpets are going to be, it causes a time of quietness and so on. So let's talk a moment about the seventh seal and it opening up the seven trumpets. This seal, when it is opened, the Bible said its opening is manifested by an earthquake on the earth, and it is now revealed and understood that it'll be the seven trumpet judgments. There's also indication here that not only are there seven trumpet judgments, but following those will be seven vials, or seven bowls, as a lot of people call it, that there'll be seven of those judgments, with the vial judgments flowing out of the seventh trumpet and coming in rapid succession just before Christ's return or his second coming to fight the Battle of Armageddon. Again, the silence in heaven that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, the silence of awe and anticipation at the grim reality of the judgments that God is about to unleash. The significance of this silence is twofold. Number one, it is entirely opposite the usual sound pattern of heaven. Heaven is going to be very noisy. It's a lot of worship, a lot of praise. You can read that. This is a total opposite of that, that there's going to be complete silence in heaven. No one making a sound, no thing making a sound. So it's opposite of the environment of heaven that we read about in the Bible. The second part of this silence is that it is the result of the revelation by Jesus Christ to the angelic host concerning what is about to fall on the earth. I have titled this series that I'm doing, mainly the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials, just simply the tribulation, ready or not, it's coming. Again, I can't stress enough how serious and sobering we should take these things, especially if you're not where you need to be in your relationship with God. This is a huge incentive to get right with God on every level. If you're harboring bitterness, hatred, anything towards someone else, you need to deal with those things and ask God to help you reconcile those things. So the opening of the seventh seal introduces the seven trumpet judgments, which are all judgments of God sent on the earth. I want to point out tonight, and this is so very important, with the seven seals, and I taught this over the past couple of Wednesday nights, the seven seals are, it's God's judgment in the earth, but it comes from the hand of man. The Antichrist is going to bring a lot of wrath, and he's going to bring a lot of persecution. He's going to bring a lot of violence, what have you. We talked about that. Nature is going to go crazy with drought and famine. There's going to be a lot of war and all that during the time of the seven trumpets, the seven seals. But when the seven trumpets start, these aren't coming through the hand of a man. They're not coming through the hands of men. It's not coming through nature. This is going to be judgments that are coming straight from God. So notice tonight that in these judgments, beginning with the seven trumpets, God is exclusively the sender. He is the source from which these judgments are coming. So God exclusively is the sender, and people are exclusively the receivers. These judgments are so terrible that the angels stand breathless and silent in wonder. So do you think those who reject Jesus so easily today would remain silent if they knew the horrible times of judgment that's coming upon the earth and upon them because they are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ? In the prior verses of the book of Revelation, heaven is seen to be a joyous place. It's a worshipful place. There's people singing songs. There's trumpets blaring. There's celestial beings that are crying out. And suddenly, just like that, it all comes to this ominous silence. As horrible as the seal judgments were, the trumpet judgments will be worse. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 2, John said, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Why seven trumpets? What does that mean? Well, it's in order to say the seven trumpets are of greater intensity than the seven seals. But they're not as destructive as the final seven vials or bowls of judgments that are still yet to come. They're worse than the seals, but they're not going to be as bad as the vials, if that's any consolation to anybody. I believe that the seven trumpets, those judgments, the seven vials, those judgments will be poured out in the second half of the tribulation period, or the final 3.5 years of the tribulation period. But the time of each separate trumpet judgment is indefinite, except the effects of the fifth trumpet. We'll get into that later. The effects of the fifth trumpet, the Bible said, the effects of that judgment will last for 5 months. So the first four trumpets announce the divine destruction of earth's ecology, verses 6 through 12. The final three literally involve, according to Revelation chapter 8, they literally involve demonic devastation of the earth's inhabitants. God is going to literally turn demons loose on the inhabitants of the earth. I just want to repeat it again. The tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, it's coming. It's coming, ready or not. It's coming. When John said that he saw seven trumpets, trumpets are loud and they send out a very clear note. There's a very certain sound to the sound of a trumpet, and the implication of God using trumpets as the conduit through which these seven judgments are manifested. There will be no question of the message. The trumpet throughout the Bible is used for two specific purposes. When you read it in the Bible, when you hear a trumpet sound, it either means to assemble the people for worship or it means to assemble the people for war. So at any rate, when God presents these judgments in the form of the sounding of a trumpet, it is to alarm people. And it is to prepare them for what is to come, which is simply the wrath of God is here. The event has arrived. I've thought a lot about this material that I'm presenting to you folks. I've spent, in times past, I've spent a number of years working on it, preparing what have you. I don't just get up and teach these because it feels right and I want to scare people. I have to feel this very passionately in my heart because to me it is so delicate because of how brutal it is. I just don't throw around this stuff. I don't want people ever take it lightly. I don't want people ever be flippant about it. Thought a lot about it. Have you ever had a date on your calendar for something you had to do that you dreaded? Going to a doctor, having surgery, going to court over something grievous. You know it's on your calendar, but when it's 6 months away, you don't think about it too much. But when it's 3 months away, then you start thinking about it. And then when it's 2 weeks away, and then it's a week away, and then finally that morning comes and the alarm goes off, and you realize that event that you've dreaded for the past number of months, however long it's been, that date has arrived. And now, as the old saying goes, you have to face the music, whatever it is. I can't express tonight. I don't know how to express it. There's people here tonight with much stronger vocabulary than mine. See, Brother Jason sitting here tonight, I feel like he's such a better communicator. And perhaps if I gave him this material, he could say it where we would understand it more. But I promise you, on God's calendar, there's a date for that first trumpet to be sounded when a judgment is going to be poured out on this world. I don't care what you do. You can plan, you can dig a hole 50 feet deep in the earth, and you can buy out Walmart and store it. It's not going to help you. It's not. You don't understand in totality what's coming. The wrath of God when the first trumpet is manifested on this planet. You will understand, if you're here, that you're not just dealing with an evil man called the Antichrist. Now you're dealing with the wrath of God himself. You need to understand that. There's nowhere to hide. There's nothing you can do. All of these doomsday prepper people you hear about, it's not going to help you. It's you don't understand the level of judgment, what it's going to do to this planet. In the next couple of Wednesday nights, Lord willing, we'll get into some of those things. I need to lay a little bit of a foundation tonight before we get into that. But some believe the seven seals take place, the seven seals that we've talked about already, take place in the first 21 months of the tribulation, or the first half of the tribulation, just to make it simple. And then after the Antichrist commits what we have talked about in a few weeks past, the abomination of desolation, that's going to cause God to begin to pour out the judgments called the seven trumpets, and then more judgment that's going to be worse called the seven vials. And most people believe, I believe, that those events, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, will take place in the second half of the tribulation period. So I want everybody to understand, if you're here for the tribulation period and you survive the first part of it, don't do a little hippity-hop skip and say, hey, I made it. Man, if I can make it through this, I can make it through anything. You have no idea what's coming. The first half is going to be a cakewalk, in my opinion, compared to what's coming in the second part of it. So I believe that the four horsemen that we've talked about, the remaining seals, are in the first 42 months of the tribulation, and the seven trumpets and the seven vials. Those judgments containing God's wrath will be in the last 42 months of the tribulation period. I want everybody to keep in mind when we begin talking about the seven trumpets, I want everybody to understand the first half now of the tribulation period has passed. The Antichrist has just committed what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. The Jews realize he's not the Messiah. They break their covenant with him, and now the Antichrist begins to work on Russia, China, the satellite nations around the Mediterranean Sea, They're sick of the Jews. They're sick of the havoc they've caused on the world. And now they're going to team up all of their armies, and they want to push the Jews into the Mediterranean Sea. That will bring Christ back for the battle of Armageddon. So keep in mind, just in the first half, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, 2 billion, billion with a B, 2 billion people have died. It's 25%. 25% of the world's population has died. So all of the conflict and all of the calamity and all the chaos that's going on in the world, you're going to have funeral homes, morgues. A lot of them are going to be destroyed by war and various things going on in the world and all of that. You've got all of that to deal with, and now here comes the seven trumpets. And then after that, the seven vials. So the opening of the seals results in each one being given a trumpet that will be blown in proper sequence, introducing a form of judgment. In the first half of the tribulation, the earth has known the wrath of the Antichrist, essentially, that is judgment through man and nature. Now it will begin to feel the wrath of God Almighty himself. Again, the Antichrist has committed the abomination of desolation in the temple, and the wrath of God himself is about to be poured out on the earth. It's interesting to me in the book of Revelation, and this has always interested me. I've preached about it oftentimes when we evangelize, especially. When you read Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 through 6, you find... Well, let's read Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The Bible mentions, it takes you back, if you could literally see this scene in heaven. When you read incense in the Bible, this is mostly an Old Testament reference, in my opinion. Incense in the Bible was a type of prayer and praise that was offered up to God. It's an illustration of prayer. And it's interesting to me that as the seven trumpets are about to be made manifest in the earth, God is making it clear the reason the earth is about to experience what it is about to experience is because there has been people for hundreds and thousands of years that were martyred, that were tortured, that were persecuted, etc., and somehow has been praying to God and have prayed to God and have prayed to God and prayed to God and prayed to God and prayed to God. Generations of people. Think of the 400 years Israel was in captivity in Egypt. And how many times they prayed. And you go all through the Old Testament and between the Old and New Testament. Now you get into the New Testament of people praying, praying, praying. The Bible literally calls these prayers in Revelation chapter 8 the prayers of the saints. And God is making it very clear that what is about to happen is going to be judgment directly from me because my people have cried out for justice, they've cried out for vengeance, if you will. They've cried out for years, and I have stored all of these prayers. I've accumulated every single prayer that's ever been prayed by a martyr, by someone who's been persecuted, someone whose life has been taken, who's been tortured, and all of that. I've heard their desperate, desperate prayer. So in one relatively short period of time, what I've been asked to do for the past several thousand years, I'm going to respond to it in a very short 3.5 years. And I'm going to mete it out one thing at a time. And as I mete these judgments out that the saints of God has prayed for all these years, as I mete them out, you're going to get one. And then the second one is going to be worse than the first. And then the third one's going to be worse than the second. And the fourth is going to be worse than the third. God has all of this planned out, but the response of God, as he will manifest his judgment through the conduit of what the Bible calls seven trumpets, is just simply God answering the prayers of all of these people for all of these years. And I cannot imagine being on the wrong end of the wrath and terror of God. I want that to sink in. These judgments are preceded by a prayer meeting. They're preceded by God listening, by God paying attention to all of those prayers, all of those mothers, all of those daddies, all of those children, for all of those years, years and years and years. He said, okay, you've prayed, and now I'm going to answer. And you're going to see what's going to happen to the people who are an enemy of mine. And the Bible said that the throwing of the censer to the earth represents the coming judgment. That censer is all of those prayers balled up in a big giant ball, if you will, and God throws it into the earth. I have preached, and I believe, that people who have persecuted God's people, people who have backslidden, and their spouse has prayed for years and years and years for them, the kids that have backslidden, that they've missed the rapture, the prayers of wives, the prayers of husbands, the prayers of parents, I believe all of those people that are left here during the tribulation period that ignored all of those prayers, I believe when God pours those prayers out in the earth, you're going to hear them again. In addition to all the chaos that's going on when you get in bed at night and try to get comfortable and hope for a better tomorrow, which is not going to come, you're going to hear your wife sobbing and weeping for you, and you're going to hear your husband weeping and sobbing, and you're going to hear your kids and your parents and on and on and on. I believe you're literally going to hear those prayers. And then the Bible said clearly in the book of Revelation that Christ will use angels to administer these judgments. And the blast of each trumpet symbolizes the execution of God's judgment. Again, Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints, all saints. Upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The golden censer it's a golden pan. It's suspended on a rope or a chain that was used as to transport fiery coals from the brazen altar to the altar of incense in the Old Testament in the law of Moses. In order to ignite the incense, it symbolized the prayers of the people of God. It did. This occurred two times a day during the time of Moses, his tabernacle and so on. It occurred every morning and every evening. Verse 3 tells us this mighty angel stands before the heavenly golden altar of incense, which is before the throne of Almighty God, and the prayers of all the believers are mingled with heavenly incense and offered up to God. And these prayers contain the martyrs' and the suffering saints' cries for relief and justice. The answer to these prayers is the seven trumpets and the seven golden vials. So we must realize that as much as we don't consider sometimes a tabernacle in the wilderness, Moses' tabernacle, that big of a deal, that little tent structure that I've taught out here, I don't know how many Sundays going through each part of it. But you must realize that the tabernacle in the wilderness with its holy place and the Holy of Holies was in reality symbolic of what was already in heaven, what was already established in heaven. The altar constructed by Moses for Israel's tabernacle was copied from this one. When God gave Moses the plan, it came from a heavenly design. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood had to be carried to the mercy seat in heaven, just as The lamb in the temple had its blood sprinkled on the mercy seat and the Holy of Holies. The very throne of God is the most holy place in heaven. And Jesus, our high priest forever, who intercedes for us at the throne of God, this vessel had to be made of gold just so it could be in the close proximity of God. Just as everything in the holy place, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, it was overlaid in pure gold, it had to be that way to find itself even worthy to be in the presence of God. So in Revelation chapter 8, verse 4, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, he said. When the angel took that censer filled with fire, all the prayers of all these people for years, and threw it into the earth, there were voices. What were those voices? It's your mama praying. It's your daddy praying. That's pastor praying. It's pastor's wife praying. It's leaders praying. It's our intercessors praying. I want to tell you folks, I'm born and raised in the church. You all know that. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 12. I think this coming August I'll have the Holy Ghost 55 years. I've heard a lot of people pray through the years. I've heard a lot of people pray. Men, women, I've heard a lot of people pray. But when somebody starts travailing, when somebody starts interceding, there's something that grabs a hold of me that I just can't get away from it. I have never gotten accustomed to that. I've never gotten used to it. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to hear that during the tribulation period, knowing that the answer to that is not you getting right with God. It's God pouring out his judgment on you. That's the answer. Where now the answer to that prayer would be people getting right with God. But in the tribulation period, those prayers mean God's pouring out his judgment. That's what that means. We're voices. 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 Thunder, lightning, an earthquake. When God pours the prayers of his people out as a forerunner, if you will, of the judgments to come, he wants people to understand, because you rejected me and you've rejected the prayers of your family and friends for years, this is what happens. This is going to be my ultimate answer on earth to that. The Bible speaks of prayers as a sweet smelling savor, and they will be in the nostrils of God, but it's not going to be sweet for the people who are recipient of those judgments. Thunderings, lightnings, the thunderclaps, lightnings, and earthquake are the result of the fire from the altar, indicating that the action of heaven initiates a responsive action on the earth. As the prayers for the saints for vengeance are taken from the altar, there are frightening sounds, flashes of light, and an earthquake on the earth, introducing the fact that the seven angels are about to pour out the judgments called the seven trumpets. Fire from the altar of burnt offerings means that God accepted the prayers of the saint. This fire taken from the altar and cast to the earth is the fury of God. The Bible said our God is a consuming fire. God is angered, and he has decided it is time to punish those on the earth who have rejected him and have martyred his people. And just as God finally destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he did this early on in man's history. Man wasn't on the earth all that long when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He's making a statement. When you refuse to repent, when you refuse to repent and go your way, there's a price to pay for that. He set precedent for that. And there will be a time when God will punish this earth for the same reason, as he is full of the iniquity of mankind, the sin of mankind, and now he will respond to it. The earthquake that is portrayed here in the beginning of, even before the first trumpet sounds, is surely of equal or greater intensity than the one described in the sixth seal that I talked about last Wednesday night. Throughout the Bible, all of these natural disasters are mentioned. The thunderings, lightnings, earthquakes that are mentioned in verse 5 of Revelation 8, they're all mentioned throughout the Bible. It's God's way of speaking to mankind and reminding man that there is a God present. We don't always take it that way. But what else could cause such a thing? Who else could cause a bolt of lightning, a flash of lightning, where there's millions of volts just like that, to just flash through the sky? What is the source of it? Where does it end? Only God can do these things. And we understand that as we proceed into Revelation chapter 8, the wrath of God has begun as the entire world enters into literally great tribulation. Are the trumpet judgments literal judgments? The best way to decide if the trumpet judgments are literal or symbolic is to study them in connection with the plagues of Egypt. Five of those plagues are repeated in the book of Revelation. No one suggests that what happened in Egypt was not literal in its form of judgment on the rebellious Egyptians for what they did to the people of God for 400 years. God judged them. And if those five plagues happened in Egypt, and there's numerous civilizations that existed in that time that recorded as a historical events these plagues that God poured out on Egypt, even Egypt has record of it, and nations around them has record of it. It's been discovered that they were literal, not symbolic. If those things happened in Egypt, then why do we think what's happening in the book of Revelation is symbolic? It's not. It's literal. So we can conclude that the same thing applies during the tribulation period, and that the trumpet judgments introduce physical judgment on the earth. I want to bring this to a conclusion tonight, to Wednesday night after next. You'll get a break next Wednesday night with a missionary. But following that, we'll start with the first trumpet judgment. But let me bring this to a conclusion. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 6, the Bible said, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." This isn't God being flippant. This isn't God not being really prepared. Well, let me try this and see how they respond to that. This has been a part of God's plan for mankind since the heavens and the earth were created. God knew all of this was coming, and he is very much prepared. And now he is telling the angels, there are seven angels that he is preparing, and he's going to use them as a conduit through which these judgments will come. So when you read in verse 2 of these seven angels that have been waiting, they've been waiting on orders to do what God is going to command them to do, evidently in succession, perhaps by arranging them in the order in which they are to manifest or pour out these manifest judgments. So you have the first one here, the second one here, the third one here, the fourth one here, and so on through seven. The way is now prepared for the sounding of these trumpet judgments. The event has arrived. The date on the calendar has finally gotten here. And God is now postured in Revelation chapter 8 to tell the first angel, "Sound your trumpet, and it's going to bring devastation on this earth." I want to give you just a taste of what's coming just in the first trumpet. I'll repeat this in a couple of Wednesday nights, Lord willing. But in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, the first angel sounded. God gives him the command to sound. And there followed hail and fire. That happened in Sodom. It happened in Egypt. But I want you to notice there's an added component here. The Bible said that the hail and the fire is mingled with blood. It's going to fall down out of heaven. And notice this. Notice what's going to happen to the ecosystem of the entire world, one third of the trees are burned up, and all green grass, all of it, is burned. I want to tell you, folks, when this earth loses a third of its trees, somewhere it's going to be hard to breathe. Y'all know what trees produce? They produce oxygen. That's what they do. When you lose a third of them, can you imagine that? A third of all the trees are burned up. It's going to be hard to breathe, to even catch your breath. Besides of trying to put these fires out, I remember when Brother Brad was asked to go last year to help, I believe it was around the Leesville area, when they had acres and acres and acres and acres burning because of the drought. Y'all remember that? A good portion of Louisiana burned up in that part of the state. And there were other places that states on fire, and there was nothing they could do. They couldn't stop it. The wind would blow in 30, 40 miles an hour and spread it. It was unbelievable. I can't imagine what it's going to do to humankind just to try to put out the fire that will burn up one third of all the trees on the planet. All the green grass, you realize the vegetables that are going to be destroyed, the food, all of that. I don't think we get it, but that's the first one. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of weeks. So now the way is prepared for God to start having the sounding of these judgment trumpets, if you will. It's all prepared for the fearful commotions and changes which be indicated by these judgments. So finally, that last seal, that seventh seal, is open, and it exposes these seven trumpets. Heaven stands in suspense. It's silent. It's quiet. There's complete and utter awe in heaven because of the disaster that's about to come to this earth. The censer of coals has been cast to the earth, as if these judgments can no longer be stayed by prayer. All the prayers that have been prayed for hundreds and thousands of years are about to be answered through the conduit of God's wrath and God's judgment. So I want to remind everybody here tonight, just want to remind everybody here tonight, the tribulation's coming, ready or not. I want to be right with God. How about you? I want to. This material is not just material that I'm teaching to you, but I've taken this to heart. I'm continually inventorying my heart, my attitude, my spirit. I don't want to be caught in a moment of weakness and the trumpet sound and the rapture takes place and I'm left here. And I get it. I'm born and raised in the church. This is all I've ever known. And I've heard this when I was a teenager. I heard it as a young married couple. I heard it I've taught it as a pastor with teenage kids and whatnot. I've heard this all of my life. But I've heard more people say recently, I've heard it more and with more feeling and passion than I ever have in my life. I'm not exaggerating. But people are just saying, I just feel like the rapture could happen anytime. Somebody asked me the other day, have you heard if the red heifer has been sacrificed or not? And I said, I haven't, but that doesn't mean it hasn't. The Jews are not obligated to tell the world when that happens. We need to think about that. I think they understand what could happen to all the political stuff, all the nations that knows what that means. If they're not interested in doing it when it's conducive with the rest of the world. They want to do it when it's right for them to be right with God. That's what they're after. They don't really care about all this stuff going on in the world. They could have already sacrificed one of those red heifers for all we know. And they're preparing to get themselves right with God for God to cleanse their nation. I was having lunch with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and There was a lady from an area church, and I don't know her that well, but I've known of her for years. Been in church for years and years and years. She walked over to our table to speak. She was very kind. First word out of her mouth was, addressed the person with me, Brother Murphy, the rapture could take place anytime. And I just kind of stared at her face. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And folks, if you miss it, you're going to need some big help. You're going to need a lot of help if you miss it. I don't know what to say. I want to be right with God. I don't intend to be so somber and so melancholy on Wednesday night. I wish we were hooping and hollering and running the aisles and dancing and shouting and laughing and talking. But God just isn't taking us down that path right now on Wednesday night. I want our young people to know what's ahead, especially our young people. I want them to know that. I want them to be right with God. Now's not a time to be playing games. Thank the Lord. Let's stand tonight if you would. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Let's thank him for promise. Let's thank him for the hope that we have in the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's thank the Lord. Jesus, we love you tonight. We're thankful for your blessing. We're thankful for your presence here tonight. We're thankful for the word of God, for the peace, the assurance that it affords to all of us. I pray, God, that we would open our hearts tonight, open our minds tonight to what we've heard. Help us, God, to be ready. Help us to be ready when the trumpet sounds. We'll be caught out of here in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We're not afraid of it. We're looking forward to it. We want our families to be raptured together. We want our entire church to be raptured together, to be with you forever, to shout and rejoice and dance in the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. We thank you for the promise. We thank you for the hope. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, thank the Lord. God bless you tonight. Thank you all so much for being here. Shake friends and be handy. Thank the Lord. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday, Lord willing.